On January 24th, the Eau Claire Police Department made history when all five patrol officers scheduled for an overlap shift were female, the first time that had ever happened. As history goes, that happenstance had relatively minor impact, except perhaps providing evidence of the department's efforts to recruit and retain more women officers. But what does it mean to a police force or a sheriff's department to expand the number of female officers? We'll talk about that and other things about women in law enforcement today on the West Side. Good morning, I'm Dean Kallenbach. Our guests today are Kelly Bakken. She's the chief of police for the city of Altoona and former police chief of Black River Falls. Kelly Bakken, good to have you with us on the West Side.
Good morning.
Also with us, Riley McLennan. She's the public information officer for the Eau Claire Police Department. Riley McLennan, welcome to the West Side.
Thank you. Good morning.
And Colleen Etzbach is with us as well. She's an associate professor in the Rehabilitation and Counseling Department at the University of Wisconsin-Stout and directs the Rehabilitation Services Program and the Criminal Justice and Rehabilitation Programs at that university. Colleen Etzbach, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you and good morning.
Later in the hour, we'll hear from the program director of the Dunn County Jail, Heather Pica. As usual, we'd like to hear from you as well, inviting you to join the conversation. You can join us with your questions, comments, stories, all at 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615, or email us at ideas at wpr.org, ideas at wpr.org. So I'd like to our listeners to get to know each of you a bit. Kelly Bakken, let's start with you. You were hired in 2019 as Altoona's first female police chief. For the sake of background, talk about your career up until this point.
Thank you. Yes, I was hired in Altoona in March of 2019 as their police chief. I'll start from the beginning. I started in law enforcement in 1998. I graduated high school in 96. Went to Chippewa Valley Technical College and received a two-year associate's degree in criminal justice. And I started law enforcement in St. Croix County. I worked in their jail for a short period of time, took a patrol position with Baldwin Police Department, and I worked in Baldwin for about 5 years before moving to Jackson County. In Jackson County, I worked for the Jackson County Sheriff's Department. I spent about 15 years in Jackson County. Worked my way up the ranks from patrol to a detective position, and ultimately to the captain of patrol and investigations. From my captain's position, I was hired as the police chief for Black River Falls, which was my position just prior to my chief's position in Altoona. Throughout my career, in the middle, I went back to school, got my bachelor's degree in criminal justice from Upper Iowa University. I have also done a Wisconsin Certified Public Manager for law enforcement through UW-Madison.
What made you decide that law enforcement was the career for you?
So early on, I knew that I wanted to do something that I would be able to help people. That really evolved into being a voice for those people that don't have a voice, being a voice for those victims who are no longer with us and aren't able to speak, or being a voice for those victims that are too young to be able to speak. And now it's kind of evolved into helping my officers develop those skills to be that person, to be that best officer that they can be.
Wondering, back when you decided, how did your family and friends respond to your career choice?
My family has always been very supportive. My friends have also been supportive. My husband is in law enforcement as well, so it's nice to have the support system at home.
I'm wondering if the fact that only 1 in 8 law enforcement officers in the United States are female impacted your decision or your desire to get into this field.
When I first got into law enforcement, I that really didn't occur to me that there was that few females in law enforcement. As I've been in law enforcement, though, that really has come to my attention, and I think people are talking about it more. And so, you know, it's great to be able to be that role model, to be that mentor for young females who want to get into law enforcement. It's a great career, and I'm here to tell you that anyone can do it. It doesn't matter how big or how small you are, you can do it.
We're talking about women in law enforcement here on the West Side. That was Chief of Police for the City of Altoona, Kelly Bakken. The number to join the call is 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615. And you can email us as well as ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Riley McLennan, let's shift to you now. Talk about your motivation to become a police officer.
Well, it started quite a long time ago. So my mom will tell stories about when I was 4 years old and I'd mentioned wanting to become a police officer. And that just kind of stuck with me since that age. Continued that thought during middle school and high school. So career day, I would always be interested in going out and doing ride-alongs with the local police department that I was living at. And it really just, you know, stuck with me and I continued to go down that path.
Huh. So you probably can't trace that back to, you know, somebody who inspired you, because it sounds like it was something from your first recollection that you were interested in doing.
Yeah, that's correct. I don't have any other family members in law enforcement. Huh. So myself going to law enforcement was kind of a shock to my family, but I'd talked about it since I was very little. And so that kind of helped with the shock factor for them.
I guess so. Hey, what's your career path been so far then?
Yeah, so I grew up in Rice Lake and I went to Rice Lake High School. Once I graduated from there, I went to UW-Stout. At that time, Stout had implemented a program that allowed students to go through the academy while going there, so you could get credits through that. So I went through that program while I was going for my undergrad. Once completing that, I got hired for Cumberland Police Department. I worked there for about a year once I was continuing my education, and then luckily I went through Eau Claire's hiring process and got hired here. So I've been here with Eau Claire for about 4 years. That was on patrol, and I very recently just started a new position up as a public information officer.
What did you want to bring to law enforcement? What part of your personality made you desire to get into this field, do you think?
I've always considered myself a very outgoing person. I guess, you know, like Chief Bakken was saying, you know, size doesn't matter in this career. So if you want to do it and put yourself to that, you most certainly can. So that was always kind of a struggle for me, especially growing up, because I am probably the smallest officer on the department. So that was always kind of a struggle for me, but that kind of just kept me motivated and kept me going too.
That's Riley McLennan with the Eau Claire Police Department. Let's turn now to Colleen Etzbach. You, among other things, direct the Criminal Justice and Rehabilitation Program at UW-Stout. Talk about that program and what it does.
Our Criminal Justice and Rehabilitation Program, it's a very holistic realm for working with offenders and out there in the communities as law enforcement. Our students come into the program, and some of them have a strong desire to be right in law enforcement itself. And then we have others who want to go more on that other aspect of the rehabilitation end and working with offenders who have already been involved with the criminal justice system. And so our program is one that provides two different practicums for students, so that they do get the hands-on experience out there in the community and in the law enforcement and criminal justice field to see what different types of opportunities they have and really kind of hone in on their skills and working with different types of offenders out there. We do see that our program really works a lot with the different community agencies, the different law enforcement agencies, and so our students get a very well-rounded opportunity out there. And as I said, we focus on the criminal justice and legal aspect, but also that rehabilitation side, because we want to ensure that we're doing the best we can out there to reduce recidivism and just make sure that our different individuals that we're working with have opportunities to be involved in the community and become, you know, positive contributing members.
Yeah, Stout's well known for its vocational rehabilitation program. I wasn't aware that there was a tie-in when it came to rehabilitation from in a criminal justice aspect. Obviously, that's important as it's right up in the title of your degree program with criminal justice. How does that set you apart, do you think, from other criminal justice training opportunities that there are around the country?
Basically, if you look at most of the criminal justice programs out there, they are very much into criminology focus and the law enforcement focus. And we do see that it's important to have both components there. And it's nice for our students because if they are going into law enforcement, they also have to understand a little more about that offender and different types of resources that are out there in the community. You know, because many times we have the law enforcement personnel going out there and, you know, if they've gone to a house 2-3 times because of domestic violence or different types of drug charges and such, if they can be one to say, hey, you know, I've been here 3 times, there's some different resources in community, and be able to, you know, even direct them to different types of resources in the community there. So we just see that there's that other component that really needs to be considered in criminal justice and rehab.
So as you think about today's topic, women in law enforcement, what have you observed in general terms about the assets and liabilities of females entering the field?
I see it's just very positive. It's instrumental to have more women out there in law enforcement, and especially when you see if there's a male and female going on site to deal with the situation. You know, sometimes it's best for a female to be there, just her presence, how an individual, if it's just really emotionally intense, sometimes having a female there, they are more likely to reduce that anger, that emotional validity or just intensity there. And so we end up seeing that it ends up really working well, having women out there. And we have more women out there committing crimes. So it's kind of nice to have a female law enforcement out there to deal with female offenders out there as well. So, and women, you know, they can be out there and tackling down the biggest guys like you would believe anyways. So it's just both of them have already indicated, it doesn't matter on your size. It's just, are you able to go out there and actually be there one-on-one with the individuals? Can you de-escalate situations? And women can do an awesome job out there.
That's the voice of Colleen Etzbach. She's an associate professor in the Rehabilitation and Counseling Department at the University of Wisconsin-Stout and program director of the Rehabilitation Services Program and Criminal Justice and Rehabilitation Program. Also with us today, Kelly Bakken, Chief of Police for the City of Altoona, and Riley McLennan, the Public Information Officer for the Eau Claire Police Department. Our topic today, women in law enforcement. Do you have a story about an encounter with a female law enforcement officer? What would you like to know about what it's like to be working as a female in a job that's still about 85% male? Email us at ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. Or you can call 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back with today's topic, women in law enforcement in Western Wisconsin. We introduced our show today by talking about an overlap shift at the Eau Claire Police Department last month that was all female, the first in that department. Riley McLennan, talk about that shift assignment and how it came to be.
Yeah, so a couple female officers were taking part in their briefing before their shift that went out for the evening. One of the officers noticed that there was only female sitting at the table, and so they decided to take a picture and just kind of document the event because it was a big event for our department. So we haven't had that happen before, and we're at the point now where we've had the most female officers working for the Eau Claire Police Department in history. So, and just a note on that, so our overlap shifts work with other shifts as well. So right. Those officers went out and joined other shifts in the city as well.
Right. As I understand it, there are now, 10 women employed as law enforcement officers by Eau Claire PD?
Correct.
How does that compare to the overall force?
So we have close to 100 sworn officers. So About 10%.
Yeah. So not a lot different than what we're seeing around the country, but still at the highest point in your department. And has there been an intentional effort to add women to the department?
You know, as recruiting across the board is a little bit difficult for law enforcement right now, but we're always very accepting of female applicants and good female applicants too. So it's great to see in our last hiring process, we were able to hire three female officers.
Women account for only about 13 to 15% of law enforcement officers nationally, but the need to recruit, train, and promote more female officers is getting a lot more attention than ever before. Professor Etzbach, do you have a sense of what's driving that focus?
I think more women are seeing that there are viable options out there in law enforcement for them. In fact, we've had 45% of our graduates from our criminal justice rehab program have been female. So that's where we really look at that, here again, that pride in our program, that we really find it a necessity to be out there and recruiting different females to participate in the criminal justice and rehabilitation programs. Because there's that high need out there for them to be involved in our communities.
So Chief Bakken, what qualities do women bring to law enforcement that can positively impact their communities?
I think the biggest quality that females bring into law enforcement is that they tend to have better communication skills. They're better with victims, they're better at de-escalation, and they're less likely to use force. And that's all because of those communication skills. You know, I can count on one hand how many times that I've actually had to go hands-on with somebody in my 22 and a half year career. And that's because I learned early on how to communicate with people. It's much easier to de-escalate a situation by communication than anything else. And I think most, if not all females coming into law enforcement possess those same communication skills and patience to be able to use those communication skills.
We're talking about women in law enforcement, particularly here in Western Wisconsin. 800-228-5615, the number to call. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask a question, share your story, 800-228-5615, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. According to an article in The Atlantic, women officers are less likely to use excessive force or pull their weapon. They're defendants in lawsuits far less than men, saving municipalities millions in legal fees. Colleen Etzbach, I'm wondering, does that characterization ring true to you?
Very much so. In fact, that's one of the courses that we really look at working with all of our students. It's called Helping Skills for the Professional. And so they're not only in the classroom itself, but they have what we call the lab experience, where they're having to utilize those different types of helping skills, communication, and they utilize them working with their peers. And then they can end up transferring those skills out into the community when they're participating in their different practicum experiences as well. So it's a definite area where individuals need those skills out there. And sometimes we have the students who say, well, I'm going to law enforcement, or, you know, I'm going to be a police officer. What do I need these skills for? It's like, you are those frontline individuals. You must have these skills. It's just the first skill that you need to really be learning is, how do you de-escalate? How do you interact with the individual instead of causing the situation to get more out of hand? So yes, I echo what everybody else is saying, that those skills are just critical. We really need to make sure that they have them. And we do see female officers out there, and our female students, that they're in the field because they want that human interaction. They want to be working with individuals out there. And so they really do take that aspect seriously of, let's get down to find out what's happening here, and let's resolve the issue as best we can.
Officer McLennan, if female cops are less likely to pull their weapon, is there a concern that those officers endanger themselves or their squad mates by being too slow to engage?
No, I don't believe so. I don't believe that study is indicating that, you know, female officers are less likely to pull their weapon in certain situations. I think, you know, there's a lot of factors that can go into those certain situations. As far as, you know, how we train our female officers, it's no different than training every other officer here. And we make sure that officers are equipped and ready to go out onto the road, in a sense to not put them into dangers towards themselves.
In 2020, there weren't many stories that were bigger than the pandemic, but one that rose to that level was the use of police force. It's under increased scrutiny throughout the country, especially in the past year with the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis and the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha. There are some who say that a force that's more female could bring down some of those heightened tensions between police and the communities they serve. Kelly Bakken, as the chief of police in Altoona, where do you stand on that theory?
I think that it's entirely possible. I think females are better at building relationships with their community, building that trust. You know, that's what we need now more than ever, is that trust with our community, and that support from our community. I think females with their ability to communicate and de-escalate situations, I believe, you know, lessen the use of force incidents that occur in law enforcement.
If you'd like to take part in our conversation today, you can do so by calling our toll-free line, 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615, or email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. While the male-to-female ratio in law enforcement is lopsided, the concept of female law enforcement officers really isn't new. In fact, I read somewhere that this is the 100th anniversary of Eau Claire hiring its first female officer. Now, for most of the last century, though, those hires were to specifically deal with females. Riley McLennan, is it still a factor that female officers are assigned to deal with situations involving victims or even perpetrators that are women or girls?
Yes, that's still pretty common as far as certain victims and cases will request female officers, and suspects as well. They'll request female officers respond to the scene of wherever they're at.
Chief Bakken, are we unfairly stereotyping female officers when we quote experts who say that they can make a difference in addressing violence against women and sex crimes?
I don't believe so. I think, you know, females are better at, like I said, communication. I keep echoing communication, but getting information from victims, being able to relate to the victim, is very important in gathering all of that information for your case. Even I was an investigator for a long time. I was very successful in getting confessions from males and female suspects. And I believe that's because I was able to relate with them. I was empathetic. I listened to them and I let them tell their story.
Colleen Hetzbach, your degrees are in the fields of counseling and psychology as well as rehabilitation. As a person who trains future police officers in UW-Stout's Criminal Justice and Rehabilitation Program, what's the importance of having female officers available to deal with crimes of violence against women?
It's crucial, because I echo the same thing that sometimes you do have the different victims out there that it's just more intimidating if a female victim has been abused or something's happened, assaulted, you know, by a male, that they're not wanting to turn to another male and share their story. And just that presence of another female and being able to talk with them, reassure them of sharing their information, it is just better for the female out there.
The Washington Post shared a study that women helped in the area of community relations because of their aptitude for communication and restraint in using force. They report that the aptitude for communication makes female officers in general better at diffusing potentially violent confrontations before the encounters turn deadly. Kelly Bakken, you've addressed this somewhat already, but is that a trait you've observed in general?
Absolutely. When it comes to female officers, you know, I'm 5'4", 130 pounds. I've always done that my entire career. I've been in law enforcement for 22 and a half years. And like I said earlier, I can count on one hand how many times I had to go hands-on with somebody. And that's not because I've always had backup with me. It's because I've been able to use my communication skills to de-escalate the situation before it became violent. I have the ability to be able to talk people down. I have the ability to be able to explain to them why we're doing what we're doing, and at the same time, listen to their concerns. And I think females in law enforcement just inherently have that ability to do that.
Now, communication skills can be taught. Professor Etzbach, I'm wondering, is there any reason male officers can't be trained to be effective communicators?
We do have a lot of male law enforcement out there that are awesome communicators. In fact, some students we have coming through, it's just, wow, it's just amazing. If you only saw them in a classroom and didn't see them displaying their skills, you wouldn't realize how wonderful they are at communicating. So we can't always say it's just the females, because it's not the case. There's a lot of males that just have that natural tendency that they're very calming, and just their presence can be just reassuring to individuals, and they feel very safe. I think part of our problem too is that we've always taken the attitude of, you know, parents bringing up their kids saying that, you know, the cops are going to get you and, you know, you better watch out and stuff. And so when it's a female law enforcement out there, I think sometimes they don't say those things, for one. But back to that, in regards to communication skills, we have a lot of male law enforcement out there that just have that natural tendency to have very good communication skills. And yes, they are receptive to learning that. Like I said earlier, sometimes we have individuals saying, well, you know, why do I need these counseling skills or these helping skills? And we have to educate them on that need, that you're out there and you're with individuals that are just in that moment of excitement. And so it's just, you have to learn those skills and be able to kind of step back. Because when we're working with our students, you know, sometimes we see some that they're a little quicker to react. They may not understand the emotionality behind individuals that they're working with. And I think that's where that dividing point is that individuals have to learn that ability to step back and understand. You don't always know the trauma people have gone through, their different past experiences. And so when you step up there with your uniform on, they're going to react. It's just visceral. And so being able to step back and calm down the individual is very critical.
Do you think that reaction, that attitude that you encounter occasionally from students of wanting to respond more quickly, do you think TV shows and movies have anything to do with that? I mean, a lot of people get their at least initial understanding of what a police officer does or is by watching a show on TV.
Yeah, we've had a lot of potential students coming through, and their first idea of law enforcement is like our CSI shows or cops, and you know, that's TV shows, and so they don't really understand what all takes place and the skills that they really need to have. So yeah, it's important to have that education.
So one of the top trends in law enforcement is adopting policies and developing personnel to improve police community relations. Riley McLennan, as public information officer, you're a forward facing member of the Eau Claire Police Department. Do you think being female gives you an advantage in that aspect of the work?
In the aspect relating to
being public kind of a community police community relations, being a public information officer for the organization.
Oh, absolutely. And granted, I've only been up here very recently, and we're just living in a very, very different world right now. And we're kind of itching to be able to get out and do some community events, and that helps a ton when we can do that and just meet the public, be out with the public, especially for, you know, younger females who, like myself, when I was a very young girl, wanted to be a police officer. I always, whenever I would see police officers out in public, I would get very excited. So as far as being a female in this position, I think it does have a great advantage for that aspect to relate with the community a little more too, and just show, you know, as well when we are out at community events, just show that we're human as well, and we can connect with people on many different levels. So yeah, to answer your question, I think it's a great advantage being in this position as a female officer.
That's the voice of Riley McLennan. She is a public information officer for the Eau Claire Police Department. Also with us today on the program, Colleen Etzbach, associate professor in the Rehabilitation and Counseling Department at the University of Wisconsin-Stout, and the program director for the Rehabilitation Services Program and the Criminal Justice and Rehabilitation Program, and Kelly Bakken, the chief of police for the city of Altoona, former police chief of Black River Falls. Coming up, we'll hear from Heather Pica from the Dunn County Sheriff's Office. She's the program director and reentry coordinator for the Dunn County Jail. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and you're tuned to the West Side on the Ideas Network. Our topic today on the West Side is the role of women in law enforcement, and we'll return with our live guests in just a bit. But I do want to share an interview I did earlier this week with Heather Pica. She's program director at the Dunn County Jail, and she shared how she got into the position she's in today.
So I graduated from in 2006 from Stout. I started working for the sheriff's office first as a reserve officer, and then later became employed with the Dunn County Jail in 2007, and I haven't left since. So I've been at the jail since, so I'm going on my 13th year, and the past 5.5 years, I moved up the ranks into program director, which really correlates with my degree that I got at Stout with criminal justice and folk rehab with concentrations in psychiatric rehab and criminal justice.
Before I want to get into what your job is, because I'm not sure everybody knows what a program director at a jail would be, but what inspired you? When did you decide to go into this? Was it something you knew before you went to college, or how did you make a decision you wanted to get into law enforcement?
I didn't realize until midway through my freshman year in college. I originally actually started out at North Dakota State University and just trying to figure out what it was I wanted, but with my moral compass essentially and my desire to make sure people are doing what is right and keeping people safe, and I love working with people, it just seemed like the natural fit and to go in that direction for me.
Now, you are the program director at the Dunn County Jail. Talk about what that job entails.
Oh, it's such a mouthful, even though it's really hard to put into words what it is I actually do. So I facilitate the majority of our programs in our facility. So I am teaching our incarcerated individuals in our facility, whether it's things like coping skills to cognitive-based programs. Some of them are require, you know, 40 hours of training in order to facilitate particular programs in here. I also oversee all of our volunteers that come into our facility. So I supervise those as well. And I'm also a reentry coordinator. So I'm working with individuals with their unique needs. And, you know, those are wanting to participate and eligible and working on transition programs for them to get back out into the community and what that looks like for them and their particular barriers.
Yeah. So you're trying to help people in jail build skills to help them have success when they get out of jail. So what skills do they normally need?
Oh, it can really vary from person to person. So some, it may be educational skills or work readiness, or maybe it's just the way that we think and process stuff. Housing, you know, learning how to be a good tenant, or, you know, dealing with your anger or substance abuse. So every person has their unique needs, and we just hit a lot of different areas in our programs to help them meet those needs.
You mentioned volunteers. I understand that there are volunteers in the community to help in your work. What role do they play?
They'll facilitate their own programs. So we'll have church groups that come in and do different church-related programs. We have places like the Bridge to Hope that comes in and does a Surviving to Thriving program based on domestic violence and sexual assault and trauma. We have Literacy of Chippewa Valley come in and teach our educational programs. We just have a wide plethora of individuals that from our community that come in and assist with our individuals in here.
We're talking with Heather Pica. She is the program director at the Dunn County Jail. And you'll hear a boom and a thud once in a while. Heather's at work, and there are doors closing and opening behind her, and that's just fine. So just so you know what that sound is, if you're wondering what you hear once in a while. Alcoholism and addiction are often tied to crime and illegal behavior. How much of a factor is that in your work?
I think, you know, I don't have those specific statistics, but if I were to say at least probably a good 90% of the individuals in here have some type of substance abuse issue, whether it's met the needs of being an addict or just to the point where it's impacting their life and giving them negative consequences. It's a large portion of our individuals in here.
Now, I understand that passion to help those in trouble goes beyond your work, that you mentor at-risk juveniles as well. Talk about that work and why you have a passion for that.
Oh, you know, I had many, many years ago been a teenager myself and know what it's like to kind of live in a chaotic lifestyle. And I wanted to show kind of our youth that you don't have to be where you came from, that you can kind of make your own path and own future into something bigger and better. Because sometimes it's hard if you don't have those positive supports in your life to see that things can be different and that they're capable of change. So I was really driven that way I mostly work with teenage girls and, you know, try to inspire them for something bigger than they probably thought was capable and be an extra support in their life.
And I understand you've even stretched that to the point where you are fostering children as well.
Yeah, I've been a foster parent for over 12 years now. So I've worked with many families in reunification or, you know, different stories on the outcomes of children that have come in my home. But yeah, that's definitely been a big passion of mine.
Fewer than 13% of law enforcement officers at the county and municipal level are female. And that number hasn't really changed for a while. Do you see your gender as a factor in the job you're doing as the program director of the Dunn County Jail?
Jail side, no, because it works a little bit different. We're required to be 50% in our facility of females to males. So you have so many females that have to work during the day and so many males that have to work during the day that it doesn't impact us jail-wise. But when I, you know, even in college and academy, which was over 10 years ago, less than a quarter of them are females in that class. The majority of males. And I don't know that trends are definitely changing either. Only one of my interns that I've had over the past 5.5 years was a female that actually did academy.
Do you have a sense of why? I mean, you had a drive to become a law enforcement officer. Do you know why that we're not seeing more women who look to that as a career?
I wish I had an answer for you, but part of it is when you're doing criminal justice, I mean, the doors are wide open to a variety of different things, whether it's probation, parole, and working in corrections. There's more opportunities for, you know, different positions within criminal justice, that you're not just straight going into becoming a deputy or police officer. Mm-hmm.
Heather Pica, thanks for joining us. One final question. If you had a message to a young woman who was thinking about law enforcement as a career, what would you say to that person?
I would say just learning those basic communication skills and being able to talk with a variety of people as human beings goes a long way in law enforcement.
That's Heather Pica. She spoke to me earlier this week. She's the jail program director and reentry coordinator at the Dunn County Jail. We now return to our live guests. They are Kelly Bakken. She's the chief of police for the city of Altoona, Riley McLennan, public information officer for the Eau Claire Police Department, and Colleen Etzbach. She's the program director for the Criminal Justice and Rehabilitation Program at the University of Wisconsin-Stout. If you'd like to join the program with your thoughts or questions, we still have a little time, 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615, or email ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Colleen Etzbach, I'd like to reach out to you first as you listen to Heather Pika talk about her work in corrections and the fact that, you know, that she's really in the rehabilitation business. I just would be curious what your response is as you heard what she had to say and the things that are going on at the Dunn County Jail.
Yes. And here again, that's what makes our program very unique. Because we not only have that criminal justice focus, but it's that rehabilitation aspect. And that's the area that we really pride ourselves in, because we do want to make sure that individuals are being able to be contributing members in their communities. So it is a huge factor that we look at the rehabilitative aspect of, you know, the substance abuse issues individuals have, the mental health. There's a lot of individuals that that vocational rehabilitation aspect is critical because they don't have any work history. I mean, theirs is, you know, selling drugs and nothing else. So it means working with individuals to start getting some type of basic skills so that they can be living out there in their environment. And our students do work with Dunn County Jail. They participate in the different programs there through their practicums. And then, you know, working with individuals through like drug court, we have different students in the correctional institutions. In fact, Wisconsin Correctional Institutions are partnering with CANDU Canines, where they have the different dogs coming into the prison systems, and the inmates apply for the different programs, and they are able to train assistance dogs. And to just see them being able to put forth that effort and, you know, do some good for somebody who has a disability out there where they can have that independence in the community again is just awesome. And they get to hear those stories that what they did has made a huge difference in somebody else's life. And that sometimes is the first time that they ever have had any acknowledgement of doing good out there. So it's a wonderful program for them. And just for them to be able to start to develop different communication skills through working with the different dogs out there too. So yeah, there's so many different programs out there. And that's why when you talk about women in law enforcement, women are in corrections and not necessarily just law enforcement itself, mm-hmm. where we look at being out there in the communities and in the patrol cars and such. But it's that other aspect that many women end up going into because they are wanting to use those helping skills on a more daily basis. They really want to be working in other aspects with individuals. So many do go more that substance abuse route, that mental health route, yeah. that vocational rehabilitation aspect of it as well.
Well, another thing Heather Pika mentioned was the fact that in corrections facilities, often there's you have to have 50% female staffing. I would mm-hmm. think, Chief Bakken, that probably makes it harder to recruit female officers where such quotas aren't required. How can departments like yours in Altoona reach out to girls to let them consider a career in law enforcement?
I think being there to answer their questions, encourage them to give it a try, be a mentor to them. I always tell my daughter, where there's a will, there's a way. You can do anything that you put your mind to.
Chief Bakken, both you and Officer McLennan have mentioned the fact that you're not large people. Officer McLennan, I'd like to maybe have you talk a little bit about the physical side of police training for many years. In fact, it was, I think, in the early 70s where the Civil Rights Code was rewritten so that you could not discriminate against women in hiring them for fire departments or police departments, even though you know, it was considered, well, these are jobs that need to be men's jobs back in those days. You know, is there, what was training like for you, especially those more physical aspects, and how do you manage that when you're not a large person? And Officer McLennan, I'd direct that one to you.
Yeah, so definitely I had to adapt. There's a lot of equipment out there that doesn't fit me. So trying to find the right equipment that would fit me, even through the academy, was difficult. Vests were always too big for me. However, those are things that, you know, you can work with our department. I mean, most departments, I imagine, you get measured and sized for your vest. So I have a vest that fits me very well now. But yeah, at first it was tough getting adjusted to all the equipment, especially the weight that we carry around. We typically carry around 20 to 30 pounds of equipment each day. So that can take a toll on your body as well. But in someone, you know, especially with me, with being smaller, that was definitely something to adjust to. But as far as training goes, I just worked hard with training. We've talked a lot about in this segment about communication, and that's so important. That's something I've always relied on throughout my career so far, is because someone with me, especially being smaller, looking at officer versus subject factors, I'm a lot smaller than a lot of people I go out and talk to. So communication is so very important, especially for someone my size, you know. So yeah, it's definitely a lot to adjust to as far as equipment goes and just everything along those lines.
Chief Bakken, I'm going to let you have the last word, and I'm curious, would you are one of a few police chiefs, female police chiefs in the state. I couldn't find any numbers on what that is, but I'm guessing that the percentage of police chiefs that are female is probably even less than the percentage of officers that are female, if that's accurate. In 20 seconds or so, are there efforts out there to increase leadership as far as women go?
So I think what I understand that number to be is about 3% yeah. of female law enforcement officers are in leadership roles. I belong to the Wisconsin Chiefs of Police Association. And I know we talk a lot about females in leadership roles and the importance of that within agencies. And I think there is some push to get females into those positions, because not only do the females add a tremendous amount to building that community trust, but they're also very good at training their male counterparts on those communication skills and showing them what patience is, and helping them to de-escalate situations.
Kelly Bakken, Riley McLennan, Colleen Etzbach, thank you for joining us today on the West Side.
Thank you.
Catherine Thomas produced today's show. Kate Spranger watches over the publicity and archives, and we welcome publicist Tommy McGowan to WPR as part of the team as well. Next week, we talk wolf hunting. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Have a great Friday. This has been the West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.